John. John is clearly stated as the human author times in the Revelation in 1:1-4, 9, and 22:8. John also authorized the Gospel of John and the three epistles. And we've seen the audience was to the seven churches. And that's a simple statement, but when you study church letters, they're written to the church. And since there's only one true church, it's written to the Baptist church. I know some people don't like me to use that term, but I believe that I'm not Catholic and I'm not Protestant. And when I drove to the hospital, you know, they always ask me, are you Catholic or Protestant? And I say, no. And I had one lady said, well, you aren't an infidel, are you? Well, I hope not. I repented and put my faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, but I believe I'm a Baptist. I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist. I don't go out advertising it. But when you want to find out what I am by conviction, I'm Baptist. Not ashamed of it. I believe Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was. Some Baptist preachers said, I think you've gone a little too far. I said, well, he will correct me at the judgment. But down here, I believe that he started a church, and it was a Baptist church. The title, For Him Which Is, Which Was, and Which Is to Come, that's on page 2 of this series. The truth speaks of eternity of God, his timelessness, his unchangeableness. He is the I Am. He is self-existent. He is the eternal one. Our grace and peace, salvation is absolutely secure because I rest in the hands of the eternal, unchanging God. I didn't do anything to get saved. I didn't do anything to keep myself saved. They were all gifts from God. God granted me repentance, or I would have never repented. God granted me the ability to believe, or I would never believe. And the Spirit in 4D from the seven spirits, and we went over those. And we'll pick up where we left off, and that's on number 3. Right above it says, the position of the Spirit which are before the throne, the Son, from Jesus Christ. And we see that. Let's keep our minds in Revelation. And we see here, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the king of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. There are three titles for Christ. He is the faithful witness. Christ is faithful incarnate. He is the first begotten from the dead. If you got your Bibles and you Revelation chapter 1, you will see that. The first begotten of the dead, Christ's resurrection, first begotten equals the Greek word referring to a place of prominence, first in rank and in position. The prince of the kings of earth, Christ is seated on the throne right now above all in the future. He will rule. He will reign upon this earth. And when that happens, I'll come back with him. All of God's people will come back with him. That's the 1,000 years. The devil's in the pit. At the end of that 1,000 years, he comes right back out and do the same thing. I believe the teaching of the devil being in that bottomless pit for all that time is that you cannot get rid of this old nature by staying away from it. Now, we want people to stay away from it, but if I was still lost. I should reform myself, become a good church member as far as everybody else is concerned. But my heart is not in church. My heart is not agreeing with the Bible. My heart is out there in the world fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. And that's why that when we see church members who really were never church members. Now, if you have any, you know, we baptize, save people, and they become the member of the church which they were baptized in. But all you got to look at Judas. I mean, Judas was with 11 of the most precious men you would ever see. Nobody thought Judas was lost because Judas played church. And believe me, church, there's a world of people who play church. They go to church on Sunday and they live with the world Monday until next Sunday. And they pride themselves in that. But I believe that if you're saved and in the will of God, you're thankful. You're thankful that God saved you. You're thankful that God took all of those sins from you. But it was all of Him. You said, but I repented. He granted you repentance. I believe. He caused you to believe. Now, that don't put you down. That simply means I'm sold out. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not what I am because of what I've done. What I do is the evidence of what God has put in me. Amen? Amen. So the prince of the kings of the earth, Christ, is seated on the throne right now above all, but in the future he will rule and reign on earth during the millennia. 1,000 years. What a wonderful time that would be. Can you imagine living in this earth right now if Christ was in full control of everything? The devil was locked up. If the devil wasn't there. Thank you, brother. But we need to have ourselves. So, you know, I get excited because I know that what I believe, I used to think my family were dumb and rocks. I mean, y'all work all week, go down to that little old building down there on Penn Avenue, little old block building, uncomfortable seats, uncomfortable everything, and you give the preacher all that money. What's wrong with y'all? I'm not a proud of that, but I was just showing you what a lost man can do. But then, when God touches you, there's a certain amount of, I'm so sorry, you know, if I only knew. And God in that small, still voice says, son, I forgave you. But I don't know whether he ever spoke that way to you, but he said, now it's your turn to prove that you're real. Think about that statement. God knew I was real that Tuesday morning. Right? He saved me. He knew I was real that Tuesday morning. But others was waiting to see if I was really real. Instead of getting behind me and saying, brother, I've been where you've been. I'm going to pray for you. I want you to know I'm here. I love you because you're now a brother in Christ or sister in Christ. So, you know, as we look at those things that we learn and we see how precious God is and what he does. So the praise is in the preface, you know, in verses 5 and 6. In verses 5 and 6, as we read verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the king of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Everything that it would take to save me, he did it. Then he said in verse 6, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever. Amen. That means from that Tuesday morning when God saved me until this day, my life ought to be showing glory and thankfulness for him. Praise. There is praise these verses exalting the work of Christ, which he accomplished on our behalf. He didn't have to die. There was no sin in him. He did it for me. He did it for you. Now, the accomplishments of Christ in 5b and 6a, you know, we could go to Galatians 2:20, where he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith for the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, so when somebody says, you know, I wish I had the faith that you had. I wish I could do what you do. You know, don't rear back and think you're something. Because the only reason that you're doing it is because of God's grace. If God was to leave me, I'd go right back in the world so fast. You say, oh, I wouldn't. Then you don't understand total depravity. This body is your enemy. Have you ever read your Bible and prayed and 5 minutes later some thought came in your mind and you said to yourself, where did that come from? Why did that happen? Because you are depraved. Then in Ephesians 3:19, he said, and to know the love of Christ was passive knowledge. So you ask yourself, you know, he's made this statement. Would I rather understand what he did, or am I just glad he loved me? I've been saved a long time, and you ask me, do you understand why one man can save all the people that are saved? I don't understand that. So when the nails and the solemn power that held sweet Jesus in that hour, it was love for me and held my Savior to the tree. And you can read that report. It's for you. But every one of us who are saved, we need to realize that when he was nailed to that tree upon that cross, he did it for you. And if you're normal, you know, you're going to say, I don't deserve that. I can give you an example between a child that understands and a child that doesn't understand, both of them having the same mom and same dad, ate the same food, everything. When God saves you and you've got a godly mother, you just thank God for it. Now, if the kid is lost and a rebel, he ain't going to think nothing. You know, he thinks you're stupid. You know, you ought to be out enjoying the sunshine, the beautiful day. You shouldn't stop work early when it's sunny and daylight and the corn needs plowing and all that. These are just examples. So could we, with ink, the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made? Well, number two under A says Jesus Christ washed us. Salvation is described as washing. We need washing as we are defiled and unclean with sin. Have you ever noticed? You know, I take a bath every day. So I don't do nothing. I stay in the office. I'm reading and studying and, you know, and but I find myself taking another bath the next day. But you know, I wasn't dirty. I didn't do nothing. It's just we like that clean, fresh feeling. That same feeling that when you get your mind off of you and the world and say, I am what I am by the grace of God. I don't deserve you, but you chose me. I had a person tell me last week, I chose Christ. How can a dead man choose anybody? Up until God saved you, you were dead. You were spiritually dead. You may have had a knowledge if you brought up in a good Christian Baptist home, but knowledge is not salvation. That's why that right here at Ammon Road, we've had at one time we had 15, 16, 17 young people. Where are most of them? Well, because you can't serve God unless he's blessing you, and neither can I. That's why the Paul said, I am what I am by what? The grace of God. Amen. Now see, it doesn't take anything away from you. It doesn't take anything away from me. I've got my responsibility. But how can a dead man do anything? See, Christ has got to make us alive. And so he's telling us here, Jesus Christ washed us. Salvation is described as washing. We need washing. We need our sins taken away from us, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he's the only one that can do that. Now, in Isaiah 64, in Isaiah 64 and verse 6. Notice this beautiful scripture. Isaiah 64. He says here in verse 6. Isaiah 64, 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Now, that will hit you hard if you understand it. It's talking about as my flesh, even though I'm saved, that flesh is like filthy rags. It's capable of doing anything that you did when you were lost, if you just harden that spirit. People have asked me years and years, how can a saved man do that? He's out of God's will. But the difference is, he's going to whoop you back. He'll whoop you through sickness. He'll whoop you for loss of this, loss of that. And he doesn't always do it. And you all had those parents that say, we wait till I get home. Man, you think all the way home. Go ahead and whoop me now. God said, I'll whip you when I decide. And it may go on for weeks, months, even years. He don't forget. And the only reason he chastens you is because he loves you. When I was saved, I've been saved 40 years, I've never been chastened. I'm sorry. That's the only answer I can give people. If you're saved and never had the chastening hand of God, you're fooling yourself. So we can look at Romans 3:10 and 23. It's the same teaching. In his own blood, the blood of Christ was the price that was paid for sin and is the agent of cleansing. Blood. There is life in the blood. When I was in the hospital about 41 days when my spleen burst, I had to take a lot of blood. Because my blood was infected. In his blood, equals the blood of Christ, was the price that was paid for sin, his agent of cleansing. Wash comes from the Greek word, I copied that, which means to bathe the whole person. There's a person in my wife's family. I won't mention her name to protect the innocent, but she said that the Lord saved her, and she would trust like a sailor. I said, what happened? Well, you know, he washed me enough so I can be saved, but he just didn't wash my mouth. Where in the world could you learn that? If there's any sin in my body at all that Christ didn't cover, I'm still lost. But this body is my enemy. He didn't save my body. He's not going to save this body. When Neela gets to heaven, she'll get a new body. And I hear people say, well, I want the blonde hair and blue eyes and this is. Oh, you know it. Can you say stupid? I want a body like unto his. Where I won't have to ask. Neela, could you help me with my phone? You know what's so wonderful about that? There won't be no phone. Praise God. Illustrating this washing of the Levites. You find washing, if you look at Leviticus chapter 8, verse 6, washing was all over. Now, some of you didn't have to worry about when you was growing up. We didn't have a bathroom in the house. We didn't have a toilet in the house. We didn't have running water in the house. You ever took a bath in a washing tub? You appreciate it. You appreciate that shower and bathtub now. But we wash. Because one thing that Mom made very strict, we may not be rich, but we're going to be clean. And that's what God said. He spoke to me in a way nobody heard it. You may not be this, you may not be that, but when I call you home, you will be clean. Clean of all sin. Therefore, the hands and feet were to be washed in the lather That's L-A-V-E-R, before entering the tabernacle for service. You know, you read Exodus 30, 18, and 19. You study the tabernacle, and there it is. You wash before you enter the tabernacle. I think some church members should, some visitors, whatever, should wash their mouths before they come into the house of God. Some of you my age or a little bit or close to it, you remember going into the churches when you didn't have to worry about hearing somebody because everybody was talking with a low tone. But we liked the fellowship. I like the fellowship, but I'm there to fellowship with God. I'm not saying you shouldn't laugh. I'm not saying you shouldn't have fun. But the house is a house of worship. It's a house of worship. John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another and the blood of Jesus. If I have true fellowship with Henrietta, she's got to be saved and I've got to be saved. Now, I know it makes some people upset because my best friend, if she died last night, she'd be in hell. But I mean, she was precious. Was she? And I understand that statement. But if you're saved, you can only fellowship with another saved person the way God is pleased with. I ain't found a church member that'll agree with that or any outside, but I'll stand on this book, brother. God said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. It's no problem. You know. My kids, sisters, brothers, anybody comes in my house, I don't have a place for them to put the cigarette out or spit the spittoon in it, you know. You don't smoke in my house. You don't chew in my house. You don't curse in my house. Maybe that's why I ain't had no visitors in the door that. I mean, I feel that way. And I would not hurt anybody's feelings for the world. But I'm not going against my convictions to keep anybody buddy-buddy with me. I won't do it. Because if you ever go back on one thing you believe, the second time is easier. Third time is easier. Well, I'm not going to let my faith, you know. Okay. But God said, but we walk in the light as he's in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from sin. I like to hear people, when I ask them, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? Are you saved? I like for them, yes, sir, preacher. I heard the gospel. God granted me repentance. I accepted him, and I am washed in the blood of Christ. But you know what I get 9 out of 10 times? Oh, yeah, I was baptized. Baptism won't save you, people. Y'all already know that. But, you know. Jesus Christ elevated us. I was nothing until Christ saved me. I mean, I wasn't voted the most likely to become rich. You know. Now, elevate to the status of kings with the Father. One day we will rule and reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:12, as we have printed out here, said, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. Now, let me sort of touch this scripture. I know we have some in our small congregation, and they may be here. But that's all right. I don't believe every Baptist is going to be in the bride of Christ. And there's people have came to me privately, and that's the way they ought to come to me is privately. I don't agree with you on that. I said, well, I sure would like to be right if I'm wrong. Could you show me? Well, people say, well, this one wasn't. But just humanly speaking, if anybody should be in the bride of Christ, I would say, oh, John the Baptist. But then I go read in my Bible, and he wasn't even in the church. So how can you be in the bride if you're not in the church? Who baptized John the Baptist? It's amazing when you have it written out for your youth and you ask that question, and you get all kind of answers. See, a study like this is not to prove anybody wrong. It's for us all to learn. Amen. So in 1 Corinthians 6:3, Paul said, "Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" We're going to judge the angels, and we're going to overlook something because our best friend liked it. No. God tells us, you know, we shall judge angels. And then in Revelation 26, it said, "Blessed and holy is he that hath a part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power." Have no power. "But they shall be priests of God and Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Can you imagine? I mean, heaven is going to be wonderful. But can you imagine reigning with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years? No sin. No disagreement. And right before that 1,000 years is over, they let old Satan out of that bottomless pit, and all hell breaks loose. Sin will destroy a marriage. It'll destroy a church. It'll destroy a nation. And sin has about destroyed this nation. Elevate the statues of priests with the Father. Every believer is a priest with direct access to God, called to offer up spiritual sacrifices in word and deed. I'm thankful. As Sister Mary talks and called me, and she said, "Donnie wants you to take part in his funeral service. And he wanted me to tell you that you taught him everything that you know, that he knows. And then you recommend Brother George, and for the last 30 years, see, George has been down there for 30 years. You know, some people may not like that country grown preaching he does, but he preached the truth. And the truth is all that's going to save you. Truth is all that's going to convict you. So You've got to elevate the status of the priest with the Father. And every believer is a priest with direct access to God. So I don't have to go to a pope. I don't have to go. When I was just a member of the church, I didn't have to go to Brother Bill. And you don't have to come to me. But as I'm your spiritual leader in this church, you should have enough confidence in me that when I pray, God hears me. So that's why you would ask me. You know, I've said this a dozen times. I don't ask such anybody to pray for me. Because if you got a haphazardous life, you can't pray except for you. Now, that doesn't go over big to people, but you got to be in the will of God. So reason is found here in 1 Peter 2:9 when he said, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Do you realize that true Baptists are peculiar? And I'm so thankful that ye should show forth praise him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I believe that everybody ought to have goals in life. They ought to work hard in life. But if you're successful, it's because God blessed your work. And that's why I tell people they need to work, because God can't bless something you don't do. You think of what constitutes priesthood. It's the first work of the priesthood. This has two sides, one Godward and other menward. A priest is thus a man who does at all live for himself. He lives with God and for God. Read that little paragraph. Then you can thank God that he made you a priest. That he gave you. See, there are a lot of people smarter than maybe some of us, especially me. But when I pray, I'm sure God hears my prayers. And that's why I don't participate in a lot of things that would, because I, you know, I walked in the building this afternoon and the phone was ringing. I didn't know it was going to be Sister Cox. I didn't know that my buddy, the one that helped me 50 years ago to get that work started, wanted me. You know, it's an honor. It's an honor that you were a pastor of a man 50 years ago and he wants you to at least be part of his funeral service. And as he told me, I talked to him briefly, and I'm not listening to myself. He said, "I respect you, Brother Vines. I love you. I learn from you." But he said, "You know that I know it was only God working through you. It wasn't you." He said, "Did that bother you?" "Not at all. God will use anybody that will yield themselves to him." I'm going to stop right there. We'll pick it up next Wednesday. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time.